Imagine you're driving this high-performance sports car, right? You're pressing the gas, you can hear the engine just roaring, you feel the
Oh,
momentum.
yeah, the best feeling.
Right. But the dashboard in front of you is just completely blacked out. I mean, you have no idea how fast you're going, what your RPMs are, or, if you even have enough fuel to reach your destination.
Yeah, that's a terrifying way to operate any kind of machinery. But honestly, it describes exactly how, the vast majority of people are managing digital advertising today.
Oh, 100%.
You're pouring thousands of dollars into campaigns every single day, but without clear visibility into that data flow, well, you're effectively blind to the actual mechanics of what's happening under the hood.
And that brings us directly to you listening right now. You know,
Yeah.
you are a mid-level marketer and you're hungry to step into that performance marketing specialist role.
The big leap.
Exactly. You manage the campaigns, you optimize the creative on Google and Meta, but that blacked out dashboard is the bottleneck to your entire career.
Yeah, because every single time you need to track a purchase or fix a broken conversion tag, what happens?
You have to submit a Jira ticket.
Right, you submit a Jira ticket to the dev team and you just wait.
And wait. So to make the leap to specialist, you really cannot rely on developers to build your dashboard anymore. I mean, you have to own your tagging, your conversion tracking, and your analytics implementation from end to end.
Taking control of that architecture, it's incredibly empowering because once you stop treating tracking as this weird magic and start seeing it as a logical sequence of events, the entire digital ecosystem just opens up to you.
And that is exactly what we are tackling in this custom-tailored deep dive today. We've pulled together this highly focused stack of sources.
Some really great stuff in there too.
Yeah, we have comprehensive excerpts from a Google Tag Manager Mastery course right alongside the official Google Developer documentation. So our mission today, to completely demystify conversion tracking with Google Ads and the data layer.
Oh, I love this topic. We're going to map out exactly how to get dynamic purchase data off a website, perfectly configured in GTM, and then use it to feed Google's smart bidding AI.
Because copying and pasting code snippets from some random YouTube tutorial, it won't help you when something breaks.
No, it really won't. You need to know the underlying mechanisms. We're going to trace the signal from the exact moment a user clicks buy on a website, all the way to the moment Google's algorithm actually decides how much to bid on your next ad auction.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we can even touch the Google Ads tag, we have to extract the raw data from the website itself.
Right, the foundation.
Yeah, it starts with understanding the communication bridge. And in our sources, this bridge is called the data layer, specifically window.data layer.
One magic array.
Exactly. I actually like to think of the data layer as like the metal ticket rail in a chaotic restaurant kitchen. The website code, which is the kitchen, pushes data onto that rail. Like, hey,
Oh.
an order just happened. Here is the revenue. Here is the transaction ID.
And Google Tag Manager, or GTM, acts as the wait staff, right? They're just standing by to process those tickets.
Exactly.
That ticket rail analogy works beautifully, honestly, because it highlights a crucial mechanical rule about how GTM interacts with that array. It operates on a strict first-in, first-out basis.
Oh, FIFO.
Yes, FIFO. When the website code uses the data layer dot push method to send an event, GTM pulls that ticket off the rail and it processes it entirely.
Meaning it doesn't get distracted?
Right. It evaluates all of its triggers, fires all of the matching tags, and completely finishes its current job before it even looks at the next ticket on the rail.
So it guarantees order. It's not just dropping tickets because the kitchen gets busy.
It guarantees order, yeah, but it also creates a major vulnerability based on timing. There is this critical, often missed technical detail here that just causes endless headaches for marketers.
Oh, the initialization trap?
Yes. That data layer array must be initialized before the GTM container snippet actually loads on the page. In the source code, this initialization looks like window.datalayer equals window.datalayer pipe pipe empty brackets.
Yeah, I see that syntax in the developer docs all the time. The double pipe symbols mean logical OR,
Right
right?
here.
So it's essentially saying use the existing data layer, or if one doesn't exist yet, create a fresh empty array.
You nailed it. It's totally a protective measure because if you don't use that specific syntax and the GTM container loads first, and then your developer creates a brand new data layer array from scratch further down the page.
Oh, you overwrite the existing array.
Exactly. All the early data that was pushed before the container was ready is instantly wiped out.
You essentially rip out the car's wiring while it's driving,
Yeah.
or, back to the kitchen. you pull down the entire ticket rail and throw all those early breakfast orders straight in the trash. The waitstat never even knew they existed.
And what's fascinating here is that the official developer documentation explicitly warns against multiple instances of the data layer for this exact reason. Having more than one array on a page causes deeply fragmented tracking.
It's a nightmare to debug, I bet.
Oh, it'll make you question your sanity. Half your tags will fire looking at the first array. The other half will fire looking at the second. It's chaos.
So the rule is absolute. A single source of truth, initialized early, but securing the rail is only half the battle, right? Even if the ticket survives, the kitchen can still write the ticket in a language the wait staff can't read.
Oh, data types. Yes.
Let's talk about data types, specifically when we're pushing the conversion value.
The data type is a silent killer. When the website executes that data layer push, it passes the data in a structured JavaScript object. Let's say a customer buys a pair of running shoes for $89.97.
Okay, $89.97.
If your developer pushes that revenue value as a string, meaning they wrap the number in quotation marks, like, quote, $89.97 quote Google Ads is going to have a massive problem with it.
Right, because it's an AI model trying to do math. I mean, it can't multiply or divide text.
Exactly the issue. Technically, Google requires a numeric type float for conversion values. It must be $89.97 without the quotes.
And if it has quotes.
If you pass a string, the system doesn't throw some giant red error message in your dashboard. It might just silently reject the value and record the purchase as a zero.
Wait, silently. So you could look at your Google Ads account a week later and just wonder why your campaigns are suddenly reporting terrible performance.
Yeah. Your tags fired perfectly. Everything looked green in the browser network tab. But because of two tiny quotation marks, you are starving the Google Ads algorithm of the revenue signal.
Wow. Let's make that visceral for a second. If Google records a $0 conversion, you are effectively paying the platform to optimize for a $0 audience.
That is exactly what happens.
The algorithm will actively hunt for cheap clicks that never buy anything, and you will just burn your daily budget by 10 a.m.
It trains a machine learning model to find the worst possible traffic. So, you know, the formatting matters just as much as the tag itself.
This is exactly why we need to own the implementation. So the data is sitting there on our data layer ticket rail, perfectly formatted as a numeric float. But we need to connect the rail to the waitstaff. How does GTM actually reach out, grab that specific $89.97 value, and hold on to it?
That happens through a mechanism called a data layer variable. It's a specific variable type you configure within the GTM interface to retrieve a value from the data layer by calling out its exact key name.
Okay, so matching the names.
Right. If the kitchen pushed a ticket featuring an e-commerce object and nested inside that object is a transaction underscore id, you configure your data layer variable to look for exactly that path.
Wait, the sources mention version 1 and version 2 variables. If it's just reading data, why does a tiny version setting or a decimal point cause so much chaos?
Ah, the version trap. Yeah, it comes down to how Google Tag Manager's legacy systems interpret punctuation. By default, new GTM containers use version 2.
Okay.
Version 2 brilliantly utilizes standard dot notation. It understands the period as an instruction. It reads e-commerce dot transaction underscore id and says, okay, first find the e-commerce folder, open it, and inside look for the transaction id.
Right. It traverses the nested data structure perfectly, which is how JavaScript is supposed to work.
Yes. And that is why version 2 is the default. But version 1 treats that period as a literal string character.
Oh, no. So it's not looking for a folder at all.
Nope. Version 1 will scan the top level of your data layer for a single long key, literally named e-commerce.transaction underscore id. And because your data is actually nested, it won't find it. It will simply return a value of undefined.
And just like the string issue, it fails silently. Your tag fires on the thank you page,
yeah,
but it passes the word undefined instead of the actual order ID or the revenue. As a marketer, missing that one little drop-down setting in GTM, just leaving it on version 1 by accident, is literally the difference between guessing why your tracking is broken and knowing exactly where the data pipeline snapped.
The variable configuration must perfectly mirror the structural reality of the data layer. There's just zero room for interpretation.
Okay, so now we have our GTM variables successfully plucking the exact revenue, the currency code, and the transaction ID off the data layer. The variables are holding the data. It's time to build the Google Ads conversion tracking tag.
Yes.
In our sports car metaphor, we are finally hooking up the speedometer to the dashboard.
To configure that tag, you need your conversion ID and conversion label. Those are just static identifiers you pull directly from your Google Ads account.
Simple enough.
But to make the tag dynamic and valuable, the conversion value, the currency code, and the transaction ID must be populated using those data layer variables we just built. And as a quick technical aside, that currency code must be in the ISO 4217 standard format, like the three-letter string USD or EUR.
Why the strict ISO requirement there?
Because of server-side currency conversion. If you sell globally, a user might check out in Canadian dollars, but your Google Ads account is billed in US dollars.
Oh, so it needs to do the conversion on the fly.
Right. The algorithm needs that CAD ISO code so it can look up the real-time exchange rate and accurately normalize the value of that conversion against your ad spend. Without the code, the math just falls apart.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Even if your currency code is perfect and your revenue is a flawless numeric float, there is a total horror story in the sources about the transaction ID field.
Oh, I know the exact one you're talking about.
Tell me if this scenario sounds familiar. A developer is testing the data layer push on a staging site. Instead of dynamically pulling the real order number from the back end, they hard code a static placeholder string, something like order underscore 123.
It is a classic developer shortcut during testing that just accidentally gets pushed to production.
Exactly. So the code goes live. The very first customer buys something. GTM passes order 123 to Google Ads. Google Ads says, great, a brand new conversion. I will record that.
So far, so good.
Right. But then the second customer buys something an hour later. Because the ID is hard-coded in the website script, the tag fires and sends order 123 again.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Google Ads sees that and says, wait a minute, I already recorded order 123, and it silently discards the second purchase server-side. And it does this for every single subsequent purchase.
Yeah.
You make 1,000 legitimate sales, your Shopify dashboard shows $100,000 in revenue, but Google Ads reports one single conversion.
Because the entire architectural purpose of the transaction ID is deduplication, Google servers rely on it to detect when a tag fires multiple times for the exact same order.
And tags fire multiple times constantly in the real world.
Constantly. A user bookmarks the thank you page to check their shipping status later. Or they press the back button on their browser after checking their email confirmation.
Oh, they just refresh the page because their internet connection hung up.
Right. If you don't have a unique transaction ID acting as a filter, every single one of those page loads triggers the conversion tag again, massively inflating your numbers. Your broken speedometer starts counting the same mile twice.
Wow. So the rule for that ID is strict. It must be dynamically unique per transaction. It must be under 64 characters, and it must contain absolutely zero personally identifiable information, right?
Very important point. No email addresses, no phone numbers, no customer names as the ID. Google will literally suspend your account for passing PII into their advertising servers.
Good to know. So a randomized alphanumeric order number is perfect. But the sources recommend a belt and suspenders approach here, don't they?
They do.
Server-side deduplication via the transaction ID is your suspenders, right? It catches duplicates after they're sent. But you need a belt too. We need to stop the duplicate tag from ever leaving the browser in the first place.
And that is where trigger-level guards come into play in GTM. The most common amateur mistake is using a simple page view trigger to fire your conversion tag on the thank you page.
Which fires every time the page loads.
Exactly. A page view trigger executes every single time that URL loads in the browser, regardless of whether a new financial transaction just occurred. Instead, you must use a custom event trigger set to the exact event name the kitchen push to the data layer, which is usually purchase.
I want to break down the timeline of why that works so well. When the user clicks submit payment, the backend server processes the credit card. It succeeds, so the server renders the thank you page HTML and dynamically writes that data layer push with the event purchase into the code.
Yep, the kitchen pushes the ticket.
GTM sees the custom event, fires the tag, and records the sale. But if the user hits refresh on their browser an hour later, the browser is just reloading the cached HTML page. The backend server isn't processing a new credit card, so the backend doesn't inject a new purchase event onto the ticket rail.
Exactly. The page view happens, but the custom event does not.
That means the GTM tag never fires on the refresh. You have stopped the duplicate ping right at the source.
And the transaction ID is just sitting there as a secondary backup just in case your server logic slips up. Belt and suspenders.
Okay, so we've captured the exact purchase data. We've dynamically populated our variables. We've perfectly deduplicated the tag. We know exactly how fast the car is going. But we have a glaring problem.
What's that?
we are missing the GPS. How does Google know which ad drove this perfectly tracked purchase?
This raises an important question. You can build the most elegant deduplicated conversion tag in the world, but if it does not know where the user originated, it is completely useless for optimizing your ad spend. It's the silent killer of campaign attribution.
Because when someone clicks a Google ad, the platform appends a parameter to your landing page URL, right?
Right.
Like a question mark Geely CLID, followed by a massive string of random characters.
A Google click ID.
Right. But by the time the user navigates around your website, looks at a few product pages, adds items to their cart, and finally reaches the thank you page to trigger the conversion tag, that URL parameter is long gone. The browser doesn't carry URL parameters from page to page.
Which is exactly why Google Tag Manager provides a dedicated tag specifically designed to solve this memory loss, the conversion linker tag.
Okay, so what does that do?
Its singular job is to read those URL click parameters, like GCLID for standard ads, or ROBRAID for iOS traffic, the exact second the user lands on your site. It grabs those parameters and immediately stores them in first-party browser cookies, typically prefixed with underscore GCL underscore AW.
Oh, so it effectively catches the click ID at the front door and stores it in the user's browser storage as they shop.
Yes. And because it's stored safely in a first-party cookie, when the user finally buys something and the Google Ads conversion tag fires on the thank you page, the tag can just reach into that local cookie jar, grab the saved click ID, and attach it to the purchase payload.
That's brilliant.
Google's servers receive the ping and connect the dots. Ah, this $89 sale came from this exact search ad click. But for this to work, the conversion linker must be configured to fire on all pages. If you only install it on the checkout page, it's completely useless. The click ID was lost pages ago.
But wait, what happens when the user's journey crosses multiple domains? Let's say your main e-commerce storefront is shop.example.com. But when the user goes to pay, your system redirects them to a highly secured checkout portal hosted on secure.payments-example.com.
That is a total nightmare scenario for attribution. Browsers employ strict security protocols regarding cookie storage. First-party cookies are physically partitioned by the domain that created them.
Meaning they don't share.
Right. The cookie set on the shop domain is completely inaccessible and invisible to the secure domain.
So you lose the GPS signal right at the finish line. But the source material outlines a pretty brilliant mechanical solution for this. It's like a digital relay race.
Oh, the domain linker feature.
Yeah. In the GTM container on your main landing page, the shop.example.com, you open your conversion linker tag settings, and you check a box that says enable linking across domains. Then you input the URL of your checkout domain.
Let's explore how the browser actually handles that handoff, though. What's the actual mechanism?
It acts as a smuggler. Because the checkout domain can't access the landing page's cookie jar, the conversion linker tag appends a special underscore GEEL linker parameter to any outbound link pointing to that checkout domain.
Okay.
When the user clicks the proceed to checkout button, the browser redirects them, but the URL now carries that massive underscore GEEL string. It is literally smuggling the click ID across the domain border within the URL.
And then what happens on the secure side?
Well, on the secure domain's GTM container, you have a standard conversion linker tag waiting. It sees that underscore GEEL parameter in the incoming URL, unpacks the smuggled data, and writes the click ID into a brand new first-party cookie inside the checkout domain's local jar.
It's an incredibly elegant relay pass because it ensures that when the conversion tag finally fires on that separate secure domain, it still has the exact ad click data locally available to attribute the sale.
And without it?
Without that specific cross-domain parameter setup, your Google Ads campaigns will look like they are driving a massive amount of traffic, but absolutely zero revenue, because the attribution chain breaks the literal second they click checkout.
Man, it all comes back to lighting up that blacked-out dashboard. We're wiring up the sensors, the speedometer, the GPS, just giving ourselves perfect visibility. But we've done an immense amount of technical heavy lifting today.
We really have.
Initializing the data layer, configuring version 2 variables, deduplicating with server-side IDs and trigger events, smuggling cookies across domains. Why go to all this technical trouble?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's because of the ultimate engine driving modern marketing, Google's smart bidding AI.
Right.
Specifically, target ROAS or TROAS. This is where your technical implementation work translates directly into financial leverage.
Explain TROAS for us real quick.
Target return on ad spend is an automated bidding strategy where you basically tell Google, I need to make $5 in revenue for every $1 I spend on ads. But for the algorithm to actually achieve that ratio, it has to predict the monetary value of every single potential conversion at the auction level in milliseconds before the ad even shows.
So it has to look at a user searching for running shoes on a Tuesday morning and guess, is this person going to buy the $20 clearance socks or the $200 marathon shoes?
Exactly. And it makes those predictive calculations by training its neural network on your historical conversion data. It relies entirely on the dynamic value parameter from every conversion your tags have ever sent it.
Which is why passing dynamic accurate revenue is so non-negotiable.
Exactly. If you don't pass the exact value, the model cannot distinguish between a high-value whale of a customer and a low-value bargain hunter. It just bids the exact same amount for both, which completely destroys your profitability.
And the sources give us hard numbers on what the AI actually requires to even turn on. Like, to unlock TROAS for search and shopping campaigns, the algorithm requires a bare minimum of 15 conversions with valid revenue values in the past 30 days. Display campaigns need 15 as well.
App campaigns are far hungrier, though. They need 10 conversions a day. Hotel ads need 50 a week.
Wow.
Furthermore, Google officially recommends establishing a 4-week baseline of steady tracking before you even enable the strategy. You have to feed the algorithm clean, consistent data so it understands your weekly business cycles.
Right, because if your tracking is broken, I mean, let's say you're passing your conversion values as strings and Google is silently recording them as zeros. Or let's say you didn't set up your transaction ID and duplicate page reloads are inflating your conversion count by 50%. What happens to the AI engine?
You are actively training the AI model against your own business goals. It's operating on corrupted fuel. Yeah. If the system sees zero value conversions mixed into a value-based bidding goal, it trains the model that your converting audiences are worth nothing, which vastly distorts its bid predictions downward.
And if it sees duplicate conversions?
If it sees duplicates because your IDs are broken, it thinks it's wildly overperforming and just crushing its targets. So it starts bidding aggressively on low-quality traffic, burning your budget in hours. It causes massive erratic swings in ad delivery because the machine is essentially hallucinating its own success.
So what does this all mean? The ultimate takeaway here for you, the marketer stepping into this specialist role, is that owning your tracking architecture is not just about reporting accuracy anymore.
No, it's not.
It's not just about making a neat, accurate pie chart for your CMO's monthly review. This perfectly tuned data layer setup is the literal combustible fuel that decides whether your ad campaigns succeed or fail in the modern era of AI bidding.
It's the whole ball game.
If you feed the algorithm garbage, it optimizes for garbage at the speed of light. But if you feed it perfectly deduplicated, precise, cross-domain revenue signals, it acts like a heat-seeking missile, hunting down your absolute highest-value customers across the entire internet.
Understanding this architecture is the foundational skill of modern performance marketing. You are moving from merely analyzing the past to actively training the machine that dictates your future performance.
Well said. Let's do a quick recap of the journey we just took. We started by initializing the data layer bridge securely before GTM even loads, ensuring no early tickets get trashed.
Yeah.
We set a version 2 data layer variables to cleanly traverse nested objects and pull out the exact revenue floats and unique transaction IDs. We built the Google Ads tag with a belt and suspenders deduplication strategy server-side ID rejection paired with custom event purchase triggers.
A beautiful setup.
We installed the conversion linker and use the underscore GL parameter to smuggle our attribution GPS across different domains. And finally, we piped all that mathematically perfect data straight into the TROAS algorithm to train the smartest bidding models on Earth.
It is an incredibly robust, professional-grade setup. If you can implement this, you are no longer reliant on the dev team for your dashboard.
But I want to leave you with a final forward-looking thought, something to chew on based on the later chapters of the course outline we reviewed. You've built this flawless, mathematically perfect tracking setup. The data is flowing beautifully from the website to GTM to Google Ads.
Sounds perfect.
But what happens to all this perfect data layer logic when a user lands on your site and simply clicks decline on your cookie banner?
Oh, man, that is the million-dollar question in the era of privacy-first marketing.
Suddenly, you are legally forbidden from writing that conversion linker cookie. You can't use the smuggler. You are blind to the attribution all over again. How does Google's Consent Mode V2 step in to algorithmically model the conversions you are suddenly blind to?
Now that's a whole other rabbit hole.
That is the next frontier of this tracking evolution, and it's something you will want to heavily explore. as you master this ecosystem. But for today, you've successfully rewired the sports car. The dashboard is fully lit up. You know exactly how fast you're going. You know exactly where you came from, and you're entirely in control of the machine. Thank you for taking this deep dive with us.